Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I am Jason, riding on my cello, Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you are beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. And we're going to go back to my favorite thing from our most recent Timothy Dalton Geek History Lesson episode. And this is Jason's relationship to the Living Daylights theme song.
Yes, so I said to Ashley that there was a part of the theme song I said that, like, you know, it's the Living Daylights.
You make him so cockney when you sing it.
Yes. We don't. Very soon, we have a new podcasting thing that we have bought, thanks to the great help of our good friend Jeremy Skinner. We will be able to play stuff like this into the podcast. But as of right now, I'm literally holding an iPad next to the microphone.
Enjoy this tinny music.
I want you to hear the part of the song that I literally thought they were just going, like, I have no idea. They are not enunciating there.
No, it's not worse.
The Living Daylights. I mean, come on.
That sounds
like gibberish.
That is a singing technique if you're belting, which is sort of where you are, reaching the range of your throat voice a little bit higher.
Like the writing on the wall.
No, that's falsetto. A belting more, think more like Bernadette Peters in anything she's ever sung in, or Patti LuPone. It's a musical theater thing. And consonants, you cannot hold a consonant. You have to hold a note on a vowel, particularly a pure vowel, not a diphthong, because your mouth is open more. It's a strain on your throat. But there's no one belting in that song. So that's just laziness. Where was the engineer? Where's George Martin going? Hello, gentlemen. I'm going to need you to hit your P's and Q's on this because we cannot understand
you.
No.
You guys are so synthesized. We have no idea what the hell you're saying.
The synthesizer is a crime against music, if you ask me.
excuse me, gents. This boy in Kansas is going to think that you're one day going,
in 30 years.
No, I mean, I learned in college that it was lyrics.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I mean, for a decade of my life, I literally thought most of the song was just guys going, because I listened to it on FM radio.
But honestly, like, you and I have listened to Plastic Ono Band. Like, weirder stuff than that's happened in music.
That's true. That's true. Okay, we're here to talk about how could Timothy Dalton help James Bond cameo in James Bond now.
I want a James Bond to come back to James Bond.
Okay, well, let's talk about this.
Because you're adamantly against this idea.
I am adamantly against this idea. So, Ashley, I want to talk to you. Why do you want a James Bond back in a James Bond movie? And let me then follow up that with a follow-up question. Is Timothy Dalton the correct choice for that?
Okay, so to me, having now, I was on like a...
Because you're never getting Connery and then Roger Moore is dead.
Yes. May he rest in power.
And George Lazenby looks nothing like himself anymore.
That's fine, though. Mm-hmm. We made a lot of jokes at Roger Moore's expense, but it's not without love and respect for all the work he did on that character.
Hey, Roger Moore, great James Bond.
And a great actor. Yeah.
Yes, fantastic.
But
actor.
I don't want people to think that we're just taking cheap shots.
No.
James Bond to me, and having been on like this very compressed diet of James Bond for the beginning of this year, James Bond is the Ouroboros. It is the snake eating its own tail. By this point, we were sort of in this postmodern James Bond period. We're self-referential. We're self-referential. We reference things that we've already referenced.
Well, I think the Daniel Craig series has almost become meta.
Yes, I would agree. I would definitely agree with that. And we talk a lot about this with comics. And we talk a lot about this with other important properties that sprung up around the same time. Star Trek, Star Wars. And I think if you're going to do it, lean in. Most of those actors are still alive. I would love, like, I wish in Skyfall that the groundskeeper was Sean Connery.
I completely disagree.
I know you do. And I know your argument against it. I hope you'll make it here. I think it's very articulate.
Should I save it for, because we are going to do a series on Daniel Craig as well. Should I save it?
I think you can say it here. I think that's fine. But I want it as a fan. No, I want to see one of them back.
I agree with the same. And I think we might have talked. I think we might have talked about this in the Sean Connery episode as well. I agree that since Sean Connery is James Bond, mm-hmm. to have him acting with another James Bond mm-hmm. diminishes. I think it's a disrespect. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same as, it's a disrespect to Daniel Craig's James Bond, and it's a disrespect to Sean Connery's James Bond. Mm-hmm. And I kind of agree with the whole idea of, it's the reason why Julie Andrews did not appear in the most recent Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. even though they offered her a role. And she said, why would I be in Mary Poppins when I am Mary Poppins? Mm-hmm. No, I actually think Albert Finney was much better in that role than Sean Connery ever would have been.
I mean, I love Albert Finney, and he was great in that role.
No, I've said about that, if you were going to have Sean Connery in that movie, the scene that they had Mallory Ray Fiennes in,
yeah.
That should have been Sean Connery, and just give this idea that he is some senior government official mm-hmm. that has dealt with some of this stuff, gives Bond a piece of advice, and then moves away.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to have one or more of them. And this is where you could do it with George Lazenby. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even really matter that if he's much of an actor anymore. I would love to see them back as M or an M type role, like an M for one movie who gets killed, maybe something like that. For Timothy Dalton in particular, like he's kind of having a bit of a moment right now, and he's been in these interesting things over the last 10 years or so.
He's made a lot of interesting choices.
Very interesting choices and very dark choices. I think he'd be a dope Bond villain.
I actually was going to say that, although this is something I hope they never do, mm-hmm. The most obvious choice is to make one of the former Bonds a villain.
Well, he's aged really well. He still looks good. He can move around. He's pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. He's still, even when you look at him, you can kind of see what he looked like when he was James Bond. So to me, whereas like, you know, Sean Connery he's just much older.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like an old man who just wants to retire to his island, and that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And as you say,
George, and he goes to Wimbledon.
Yes, he does. Not anymore. And as you say, George Lazenby doesn't really look like himself, which again is fine. But so I think that Timothy Dalton, for that reasons, would be like the most fun to see back. And it's too soon to bring back Pierce Brosnan. It would be too weird to have Pierce Brosnan.
It's so weird.
He was just the last guy.
Oh, I get it. Even though we're 20 years past Pierce Brosnan now at this point.
Yes. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's in terms of...
Which makes me feel very old.
Which is crazy because, it just goes to show you, and we'll talk about this in the Daniel Craig series, that like, Daniel Craig has been Bond since 2005.
2006.
Yeah, but he was cast in 2005.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and Die Another Day, I think, was 2002?
Yes.
I think is when it was. So like... Yeah, we've had Daniel Craig's Bond for 15 years, even though we've only gotten 4 movies.
Part of that is due to what happened with MGM.
Yes.
Which basically they went
also
bust.
It's just the changing of movie productions because uh-huh. Connery was in 6 movies in a decade.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, now they also take 3 or 4 years to make a James Bond movie. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But so you don't want to see anyone back ever.
I only want to see them back if you don't name them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do not name these gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if you're going to do it, the perfect cameo is almost something like what they did in the first Incredibles, because if you remember in the first Incredibles, after they beat the giant robot, mm-hmm. there's that scene of the two old men being like, now that's how you do it. That's old school. And they are classic Disney animators is mm-hmm. who they're based on.
Yes.
But they didn't name either one of them. So to me, it's like, if you're going to have James Bond, one of the former James Bonds in this movie,
mm-hmm.
you cannot name that character. You cannot say his name is M, John, Mallory. You just need to say like, oh, he is a guy that you can make a joke about, like, oh, he's a fellow that used to have your job. Similar,
you can even make the joke of what's his designation. Oh, he's so important, he doesn't need one anymore.
He doesn't need one anymore. Mm-hmm. I would say similar to the Tom Baker cameo in the Doctor Who Day of the Doctor.
Ah, the curator.
Yes, because that's the only thing they called him. And they didn't solidify that he was... the Doctor.
Yeah, that he was for,
but
yeah.
they hinted at it.
Yes. And it's there. I would say they more than hinted at it, but yes.
Well, but
yes.
they also give you the line where Tom Baker says, well, maybe none of this means anything at all.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But like that, I love that scene because it still allows Tom Baker to be the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think. The minute you cast any of these former Bonds,
mm-hmm.
and again, look, studio executives are going to do it. I actually think...
Oh, the discussions have been had for decades.
I guarantee you they have talked to Pierce Brosnan about playing the villain in a future, even the next Bond movie or something.
I bet
like
you
that.
$1 million. They've tried to put Sean Connery in every James Bond movie since he stopped being James Bond.
Oh, I guarantee you they have. Would you come back for a cameo? Would you do this mm-hmm. thing? Yes. I just think, again, you're disrespecting the past James Bond and you're disrespecting the current James Bond if you name them.
Mm,
but
interesting.
If you make them a character with an air of badassery
mm-hmm.
and you don't confirm that that's James Bond, we as the audience know exactly what you're doing because we'll recognize that person.
Yeah. But I also wonder if the reason that they might not have done that because the Broccoli's, you know, we talk about this in every James Bond episode. They don't want to confirm whether or not Bond is one man or not.
Even though...
And if you put him in a scene and you imply that, then we know.
Although, at this point, that's a moot point anymore because the Daniel Craig movies confirm that it's the same dude.
Look, according to your tweets, it's yep. not a moot point.
Well, it's true, but I'm also saying that it is
yes,
now...
Yes, I understand.
It is now canon storyline that it's the same guy.
Yeah.
Even though I think it should just be a code name.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about James Bond actors who go on to basically play James Bond light afterward?
Like who?
Pierce Brosnan did a movie called The Matador, where he was basically evil James Bond. Like, he's just an assassin in that. But, like, his first scene, he's, like, having sex with a 21-year-old girl.
That's fair. I mean, he also...
Daniel Craig did a movie called Defiance where he was just James Bond in World War II.
Oh, I would argue that in Defiance he wasn't anywhere close to James Bond. But there is a Pierce Brosnan movie that he made in the middle of his James Bond movies called The Thomas Crown Affair where he's an art thief.
Yes.
And he's basically James Bond who steals art. Now, you have never seen this movie. It's actually a pretty good movie. There is a Michael Bay movie called The Rock. And it's about Sean Connery is the...
That's the one that people go, yeah, that one good Michael Bay movie. And again, yes. I don't mean disrespect to Michael Bay. That's just the way yep. people refer to that
movie. It is his best movie. Mm-hmm. It's Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage, and Ed Harris.
Oh, nice.
And it's the idea that Ed Harris is this former military dude who wants to start a coup with the United States. Like, he wants to take it over.
Mm-hmm.
And he sets up his base with this biological chemical on Alcatraz. And
I knew it was Alcatraz.
Yep, it's on Alcatraz. And
did they swim to or from it?
And let me finish. Uh-huh. Nicolas Cage is the FBI agent who is like hired to uh-huh. take him down. And so he goes and finds the only man who has ever broken out of Alcatraz, and that is Sean Connery. Now, there are several winks and allusions in that movie that Sean Connery is James Bond.
Interesting.
And it's the idea that James Bond was the man that broke out of Alcatraz.
That's cool.
They never confirm it.
What do they call him, like Jim Bland or something like that?
No, it's been years since I've seen The Rock.
Okay.
But I think, if I remember right, they mentioned that the name that they call him is not his real name.
Mm-hmm. Because he was in like Witness Protection or something?
Or they just, like, there's a lot of mentions. Let me see if I can find it.
Yep.
Vamp.
The Living Daylight. I don't remember how that song goes. You kind of sound like a chimpanzee trying to sing.
Yep. Let's see here. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. It's not really working. Keep vamping, Ashley.
So
I'm sorry. So his character's name is Mason.
Okay. That's clever for a movie about a rock, Mason.
Mm-hmm. It's never 100% confirmed whether that's his real name. But it says if you look at Mason's skill level, his attitude, and his quips, it makes you feel like it is a James Bond film. And Connery himself several times during the release of The Rock said that one of the reasons why he said yes to the film was because he felt like he got to play James Bond one more time.
That's cute.
You know, which is very interesting. But there, yeah, it's a secret theory that a lot of people think that is basically James Bond.
It's like his last adventure.
That is, yeah, Sean Connery's Bond's last adventure. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's interesting. I don't know, man. Knowing our culture and knowing nostalgia, they're going to do it.
If you get to pick who comes back, who do you pick?
Dalton.
Dalton, yeah.
Timothy Dalton comes back.
Why?
I just think
you can just say because he's the one you want to see the most.
Well, I just think he's the character that looks the most like his Bond. Pierce Brosnan actually has gotten quite gray recently.
Pierce Brosnan still looks pretty good. I think looks really good.
He still looks pretty good, but he's gotten pretty gray. Whereas Dalton still dyes his hair and still kind of
does dye his hair. He's a little gray at the temples.
Yeah,
though.
But he still kind of looks like that Bond. I mean, to be honest with you, what I think would be the perfect cameo would be. Because these are spy movies. Spy movies are all about secret messages, right? Hidden messages. Like, oh, did our agent that was killed, did he leave me like a micro dot full of a message or something like that? I think the perfect way to do it would be to have Daniel Craig's James Bond or whoever the next James Bond is find a message from a source or an old agent that was killed or something like that. And when they play it, it's Sean Connery.
Oh, that's cool.
So Sean Connery can literally record that on his phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Close your bathroom door, record.
Yes. You know, and just say, and just like literally end it with, this has been a message from 00.
Oh, that's cool.
You know.
That's cool.
And like that to me would be the best camp. I think I would prefer that over seeing any of them.
Would you be okay if we saw their headshots?
Yes, I would.
We saw like some database and it was just scrolling through and we saw all of their headshots as Bond or something
That's a different deal to me. It's kind of like what
I'm just curious.
I'm fine with that because it's like the X-Men movies where you'd see all the mutant names.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Because ultimately it can be meaningless if you want it to be meaningless.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to fit into continuity, which I'm totally fine with. I actually think that would be funny.
Cool.
In fact, I don't know if you know this, but in GoldenEye 64, originally you were supposed to be able to play every other Bond.
I did not
instead
know
of Pierce Brosnan.
With those creepy wraparound faces, like when you got really close to Alec.
You want to know why it didn't happen?
Because they couldn't get their licensing deal together.
Oh, no. They got everybody's...
Except Sean Connery.
Sean Connery was one that said no.
Sean Connery, look, all the love and respect due to Sean Connery, he's an ornery bastard.
Yep. Look, he's in his 90s, for God's sake.
Also, he's Scottish.
He likes tennis and Scotland and golf. Leave him alone.
You know, the Scottish invented golf.
I know. That's why he likes it.
Gents only, ladies forbidden.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what golf means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the days. And on that note, thank you so much for that support. And on Patreon, thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed these Bond things. We have more Bond things coming. We hope you enjoy it. I am Jason, never a Bond cameo Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Mission briefing over.